Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/news-ad-free. That's amazon.com/news-ad-free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Good evening and welcome to Charlton Live. This is the Big Match Preview. My name is Louis Mendes. I hope you are well and joining me on this week's show to look ahead to Saturday's trip up to the Pirelli Stadium to take on Burton Albion. First up, Mark Newbury. How are you doing, Mark?
I'm fine, mate. You just call me unaware because you normally always come to me second. So
I've never noticed any order, but there you go. Caught you out by surprise.
Just having a mouthful of tea.
Got to be on your toes in this game, Mark. And also joining us, a man who's a bit down in the dumps at the moment because he's got COVID. Lewis Catt, how are you doing, Luke?
Yeah, not too bad, mate. Thank you. Yeah, not too bad.
Surviving. I'd like to point out that we're doing this over the internet at this point. I would refuse to speak to you face to face. Normally, anyway. But especially.
I was about to say, doesn't need COVID for that, does it? Yeah. I'm all right. I'm all good.
Excellent.
Bit rough at the start of the week, but I think I'm coming around the other side of it now, which is all good.
Excellent stuff. Well, on this evening's show then, like I said, we're going to be looking ahead to that game up at Burton Albion. We're going to hear, of course, from the Addicts caretaker boss, Johnny Jackson. He's going to look ahead to that game for us. Also look back at the game in the Papa John's Pizza Trophy against Leyton Orient during the week. Talk a little bit about the women's team. We've got the cup draw to discuss as well. Got an excellent draw in the cup. Talk a little bit more about Albie Morgan, because I asked Jacko about him on Tuesday. And we've got Dave Fletcher from BBC Radio Derby. He's going to tell us all about Burton Albion as well. So just before we hear Jacko preview the game, Lewis, it is a big game against Burton. You know, obviously coming back off a couple of cup games. One excellent win in the FA Cup, one sort of narrow defeat at Leyton Orient that we don't pay too much attention to because it was mainly an under-23s side. But this is a big one because we need to make sure that we keep up the momentum that we've had in the league over the last few weeks under Jackson.
Yeah, definitely. And, probably comes a little bit unexpectedly as well, because I think we all thought that the game might have been called off with the international break. So it's another game we've had to prepare for. Another quick turnaround with the FA Cup on Saturday and then the Pizza Trophy on Tuesday night coming into this as well. Obviously, we'll be short of a few bodies, but yeah, I think it's going to be a huge game. We tend to have a couple of dodgy spells up there. I mean, last season, our game against Burton up there was one of the most bizarre results you could imagine. They were really struggling at the time, and Jimmy Floyd Hasselbank's got them playing some fairly decent football, and they're an outfit that have looked okay this season so far. And yeah, coming up against us at a time where our league form has been, nigh on perfect since the change in management. And there's a real positive attitude and positive feel around the place. So we've not been on the road proper. Well, you can obviously the Johnston's Paint Pizza Trophy, on Tuesday. But we've had those sort of three home games on the spin with the FA Cup as well. So the last time we were on the road, that big travelling support up at Sunderland, we managed to grind out that result kind of against the odds. So a bit of a different fixture this time around, I think, because they're sort of in a similar position to where we are in the table, not a million miles apart. So yeah, it'll be an interesting game. I think two strong sides, and I think we'll go into it with a bit of confidence, especially the way that we've been playing leading up to now.
Excellent stuff. Right, well, let's hear from the caretaker boss, Johnny Jackson, then looking ahead to the game. Starting off, of course, with the injury news. We know that we've got Washington and Gunter missing away on international duty, but there's also a number of players who could potentially be missing through injuries. And with that slightly smaller squad we've got this weekend, it's important to know exactly where the squad is sitting. So let's hear from JJ. He starts with the latest injury news.
Yeah, well, Harry Arter's in full training, so he's available for selection. Lika and Adam Matthews probably just going to come a little bit too soon for those. And Pape, we're just assessing. Pap came off, obviously, towards the end of the game Tuesday night, just feeling his hamstring a little bit, nothing too serious. He didn't train today. We'll reassess it again tomorrow with a view to can he be involved come the weekend. But that's a late call we'll have to make.
Obviously, with Chris Gunter not available, it's probably your first real serious juggle of the way you want to play on Saturday.
Yeah, it's an opportunity for someone else. You have to look at it. Do we tweak the system? Do we stick with what we're doing? And someone just comes in that role. And obviously Connor Washington missing as well will mean an opportunity for someone else in a more advanced position. So, yeah, I have to decide now whether, you know, I juggle the pack, if you like, whether I stick to what we've been doing, which has been working really well, and just use different personnel in those positions. That's what I've got to decide now.
But now being at Pirelli Stadium, they're just above mid-table. They've won 6, lost 6. They don't score many, although that's not an exact science I'm seeing, especially in this league. But you've got to be looking at it as an opportunity to close the gap on the teams above.
Of course, yeah, an opportunity for us to go. We're in a good place. We're on a good run of form. It's a game I'm really looking forward to. I feel like we can go there and win for sure. But we know that they come with their dangers, with their threats. We lost there last year. That's still quite fresh in my mind with the nature of that defeat. So I want to put that one right. But I know we have to turn up right. We have to turn up right because they're a difficult side to play against. You know, they can play a few different ways, a few different formations. So they're quite tough to prepare for. But what I do know is they'll compete and they'll make it difficult for you. So we have to turn up there and be ready for that side of it, first and foremost. Then I believe we've got the quality to hurt them. Definitely got the quality to hurt them like we have any team. So, yeah, nothing changes from my point of view. Same as we have been. Compete with them first and foremost, and then hopefully our quality tells.
I mentioned there about looking to close the gap on the teams above, and it's the Johnny Jackson effect, I think, because, we might have lost Tuesday, but the feel-good factor around the place and in the fan base means that fans are looking up. But when you consider we're only a point away from the bottom four, it's a strange situation. So it just shows the effect that Johnny Jackson's had since you've come into caretaker manager. But that's the feeling around the place, and that's the feeling of the fans, is that they're going to Burton looking to close gaps rather than looking underneath.
Absolutely, and that's the way it should be. We should be approaching every game in a positive way, thinking that we can win, and I certainly feel that way. I know the players do. The players are in a great place. There is a feel-good factor around the place, where the supporters have been unbelievable since I took charge, and the boys have been fantastic in the games, not only in the games, in the training. There's a real bounce about them, and I'm really pleased with where we are as a group. But can't rest. That has to be us going forward now, and if we can maintain that, then we will start looking up and we will start closing the gap between teams above us and climbing away from teams below us. I've got no doubt about that. But yeah, we find ourselves still in not a great position in the league, so it's nice to have got out of that bottom four, but now we have to start reeling teams in above us and looking up and try and put a little bit of daylight between us and those below.
Great to hear from Jacko there. We'll hear from him more throughout the pod, of course, this evening. Looking ahead to the game with Burton. He started off with the injury news first, Mark, so we'll talk about that. Obviously, the likes of Arta, Lecco, Matthews and Soiree, I think you'd have to describe them all as doubts, other than Arta. Like, Arta's as a potential, obviously, he's been training. But the other three all seem to be doubts. So, obviously, as we know, with Washington and Gunter missing, there are going to be a few selection headaches. And, I mean, Jacko will be hoping to see something from whoever he brings in. You know, I guess a chance for whoever comes in to, you know, stake a claim, and therefore they have to make sure they're at the top of their game as well on Saturday.
Yeah, it's a difficult one. I was looking at it earlier and thinking, we've got no Gunter, no Matthews, so that's our right side. Is he likely to play Corey Blackett-Taylor there as a right back? Not really. My thinking is he'll put Sean Clare there because he was a defender. I know he's not his great favourite position to be, but I think needs must. It's difficult to know who else he could swap out to the right. You'd not really want to put any of your centre halves out. Lecco, you know, we've got DJ. We've got an abundance of wingers, so I'm not so worried about that. It's more of a defensive on that side. It was just giving me a bit of a headache earlier, so I don't know how JJ's going to cope with it.
Yeah, it won't be easy. I mean, that's probably a good suggestion from Mark there about Sean Clare playing. I mean, he did play on the right. In the cup game, I think he played as one of the right centre back, didn't he? Or did he play as a wing back? I can't remember now. But I mean, he can sort of fit in along that side. Lewis, is that one you're going to go for? I mean, obviously Deji Lerroway signed his new deal. He could be a potential to come into that back three as well, if that's what we stick with. It is a bit of a headache trying to get your head around exactly what JJ is going to go with.
Yeah, it is. I mean, he's got some options there. I mean, yeah, you're right. It was that back three with Sean Clare played on the right-hand side of that three as a right centre-half. And I thought he had a really good game, actually. I thought, especially in the first half where we weren't really at it, I didn't think. I thought Sean Clare was the standout performer for me. Got forward well, worked well with Corey on the right-hand side. So I wouldn't be surprised if we did see that sort of set up again. I know Jacko said, you know, we're going to be without Adam Matthews, I imagine, and with Gunter being away, we are kind of within that system where we probably do need to have like a back three and play with wing-backs, because I'd be surprised if he stuck Deji in there, because if you take him away, then you haven't really got a backup on the bench if one of them gets injured. If you're starting Piercy and Famwo from the off, if one of them gets injured and you haven't got a like-for-like replacement on the bench, that might be something that is playing on his mind as well. But I thought Sean Clare did a good job there as well, and Corey did a fairly decent job on the right-hand side. And then obviously we got Perrington for the left. So I'd probably, if I was Jacko, I'd probably go for that sort of system.
Interesting stuff. And now obviously the fact that Connor Washington's missing, I mean, a like-for-like replacement in the form of Josh Davison. You know, he played 45 minutes on Tuesday, was taken off at half-time, and you'd have to assume, Mark, that that would be with the game coming up on Saturday in mind. It's not like he's going to be out of place or anything like that. I feel like he could do that role. Obviously, we like Connor and we know what he's about, but you know, I feel like Josh would be an able deputy. He's proven this so far this season that he probably can be.
Yeah, I like Davison. He's got a good work ethic. He's got a great engine. He's going to do the running that Washington will have done. And I think you have to keep someone alongside Jaden up front. You just can't sort of like tweak it too much. So the personnel may change, but I think you've got to keep the same system. And with Davison, I mean, he's good. He's you know, he takes his goals well, and he looks like a threat. And okay, he's not prolific at the moment, but you know, his chances have been slim. So I think this could be a chance he might grab for himself. I mean, if he comes in, maybe scores a couple or sets up one on Saturday, that could see when Washington comes back, it's not an automatic. I mean, Jacko said, you're playing for your shirt. You know, okay, Washington's off on international duty, so it's not down to him. But, you know, this could be a stake for Davison. I think, as a professional player, if you know there's sort of like one person in front of you and you're doing better than him, that's going to be a huge motivation for keeping you working at 100%. And it looks like he's settled down a bit from being almost like bull in a china shop running, to being, right, I'm going to time my runs better now. So, you know, I'm grateful that we've got those two. I mean, it's too early to have. I mean, I don't think he'll put Burstow on the bench, but, you know, it does leave us a little short up front. You know, I'm not sure who it's going to, probably the bench is going to be defenders and midfielders on Saturday. So, but no, I've got no problems with Davison.
Excellent stuff. Right, I mean, the game itself, obviously we talk about personnel. In terms of that build momentum, I just wonder how much this almost 2 weeks away from playing first team league football will affect us, because obviously there were changes for the FA Cup game, and as you'd expect for the trophy game in the midweek, Lewis. But, you know, I mean, that last game against Rotherham, you remember that barnstorming second half where we you know, really had a go, finally equalised late on. You know, everyone's buzzing that we've come off the back of two good results before that. I mean, do you feel like some of that momentum will have gone purely because of the amount of time since we've played, you know, for all you know, to be fair, hopefully not saying this the wrong way, but a proper game?
Yeah, I know what you mean. Naturally, we've come up against lesser opposition, and, you know, the pizza trophy, we're already through, and as we're Orient, so you can look at it as, it was just a bit of a, you know, it was a fixture that had to be played, but really didn't really mean anything to anybody. The FA Cup game, you know, we weren't, yeah, they were a lesser opposition, but we weren't good enough in that first half. And the majority of the second half, really, it was only after 70 minutes we really came alive and we polished it off. And that was good and encouraging to see, because I think we, before maybe the Charlton under Nigel Adkins, if we were putting in a performance like that against Havant and Waterlooville last weekend, we might not have got the result overall. I think that there's definitely a real character and a real drive in this side that Jacko expects. And I think he expects a certain performance from his players. And he would have been disappointed with the first half showing last Saturday. But ultimately we come out and we still manage to put 4 goals past them. And I think that has to count for something. And, you know, this would be a break normally where we'd have the international break, and we've had it this time already this season twice where we've not been able to capitalise off victories off the back of an international break. So now we have that game, that game straight away that maybe originally would have looked like it had been called off and hasn't been. We're coming off the back of a cup win, and then the game midweek. It's an opportunity to see how that momentum can kick on, and it'll be a real test of character and the players, and a real test of Jacko to see if we've kind of broken that duck, if that makes sense, because we're coming off the back of a little bit of a break, as you say, because of the maybe the standard of opponent that we've played over the last fortnight. But at the same time, we've still got a hell of a job to do, and we're still in a bit of a precarious position in the division. And if we're going to get out of that, then the performances need to remain at the level they were, you know, over the last few weeks since Jacko's taken the reins.
Is it right we have to play this game, Mark? Obviously, we know the rule is 3 players away on international duty, and Hadi Gandor's out on loan at the moment, so whether he gets called up or not is irrelevant. And Harry Arter didn't get called up, so but we're losing Gunter and Washington, and let's just say, I mean, if you're losing players to international duty, I think the fair assumption would be that they're amongst your best players. I don't know if I'd say that for Gunter personally, but he's a more than able right back, but Washington's certainly an important player for us, and Gunter is a reasonably important player for us. So the idea being that you have to play when you've lost 2 of your most important players, you know, up and down the leagues, does seem a bit unfair. I mean, Am I asking for too much to say maybe bring it down to 1 player, or just let us choose when we want to play?
Yes, you are. And you're going to get a lot of hate mail from Tom. You're having a go at one of his Welsh compatriots. It's difficult because I understand why it's been put in there. But then you do have, you know, some lower countries out of the top 100 who sort of like pick up some players. And you're thinking, well, hold on a minute. You know, you're cancelling a game because, you know, Montevideo have got your, you know, one of your defenders who's in your squad. And it's a bit crazy. And you can be without those players through injury at any time anyway. So it just happens now. We're talking about it because we don't have Matthews and, you know, we are a little light up front. So I think it's there for a reason. You know, if they're not going to choose Arter, they're not going to choose Arter. I think you have to make do with what you've got. I mean, you can't, anything could have happened. Say there wasn't an international break this week, and then in training, Washington does a hammy, you know, Gunter does his knee. We would have been without them anyway, and we'd been looking to, you know, change it around and see. We'd be having the same conversation, but without the international break in it. So I think you just have to sort of like put up with it. I mean, the only thing about it sometimes is that when you plan ahead, you book your train travel, your hotel, et cetera, and then a game gets called off because of these call-ups, you know, or then goes ahead, or then the rearranged game is put on a sort of like a Tuesday night, and you're thinking, well, that's a Tuesday and a Wednesday I've got to take off. It's the inconvenience is probably more when you have a game called off for internationals than it is the benefits from it. So, you know, circumstances change all the time in a football club. So,
I mean, it will say an interesting precedent. I haven't actually looked it up, so someone out there might know the answer. But obviously, the Premier League have announced today the season dates for next season, and they'll be starting a tiny bit early, finishing a tiny bit late, and having that break of almost a month in the middle of the season for the World Cup out in Qatar next year. But I haven't seen it confirmed yet if the EFL clubs are going to do the same, because, I mean, you'd assume at minimum the Championship definitely will. But then if we're playing by the same rules, does that mean we're going to be playing through the World Cup? I mean, you know, again, unlikely that Wales and Northern Ireland are definitely going to be involved in that, but it could end up costing us certain players if, you know, will we have a month off then, whereas the rest of League One plays on that? That's, yeah, it just poses the question. But anyway, Lewis, you mentioned about that last away game we had under Jacko in the league was obviously up at Sunderland, and one where we did have to grind it out a little bit. So this is a different challenge against Burton. Obviously, they're not the level of Sunderland, or at least the one that Sunderland used to be before they lost to us and fell apart again. But considering it's not going to be the same as the game against Doncaster either, so it's going to be about finding that balance to make sure we're not too open, but actually start to impose ourselves a bit more on this game, similar to we did, to be fair, up at Sunderland after the first 10 minutes or so. But we'll need to find a way to hurt them, and obviously Jacko says that he feels we've got plenty of ammunition in the squad to go and do that, even without the likes of Connor Washington.
Yeah, we do, and it is a completely different opponent to Sunderland, as you say. I think Jimmy Floyd Hasselbank's done a very good job since he's gone in there. You know, when we played them last time, I think they were rock bottom, and they beat us like 5-3 or something, wasn't it? Ridiculous. And he's gone in there last season. They were on an incredible run, and they've done sort of, you know, a fairly decent job so far this season, sort of mid-table, you know, nothing special, but not alarmingly poor either. They had a good result midweek in the Papa John's trophy as well, didn't they? Beat Wickham 5-0 at Wickham. I assume that was a weakened side, but still to put five past them at Adams Park is an achievement. And they beat Fleetwood last weekend as well. And you know, they've had some good results. I mean, they're a side that are always difficult to beat, and it's going to be a real test. And as you said already, with the absences that we do have in Chris Gunter and Washington, it does leave us slightly short. But I think the way we're playing at the moment, the confidence has to be high, given the level of performances in the league especially. There's players that are going to get an opportunity, as we've already touched on. Josh Davison may get the nod up front, and he's someone that probably does deserve a chance because he always puts in strong performances, always gives 100%. And then also an option for someone to play on that right-hand side. If we can't get a full-on right-back in Matthews or Gunter, then a system to suit might get... It might get Deji a 90 minutes. It might get Sean Clare a 90 minutes. You know, there's opportunities for players that are going to be knocking at the door for Jacko. And, you know, the noise is coming out of the squad, and the players coming out and saying they really want Jacko to get the job and stuff like that. It all sort of leans towards a very happy camp. And I think that at the moment, the positivity and the confidence is at such a good level that we can go there full of confidence, and I'm confident that we can get a result.
Yeah, well, those points about the fact that the players have shown their support for Johnny Jackson in the press, it leads us on quite nicely actually to this tweet from Gary. It says, "Hi gents, I don't understand why the owner has not given the manager's job to Johnny Jackson yet. If he brings in another manager, he might want to bring in his own people, and JJ would be let go. The owner would then lose all credibility with the supporters. Keep up the good work." That's from Gary. Well, Jacko was asked today during press day by Terry what his conversations have been like with Thomas Sandgaard over the last few weeks.
Well, we're in regular dialogue, you know, about how it's going, the training, in the upcoming games, you know, my thoughts on team selection and what I'm working on in training, but we haven't hasn't advanced any further in that at the minute.
There we go. So, I mean, they have been in conversation a fair bit, but not really leaning towards anything about the permanent job just yet, according to Jacko there. I mean, it's clear, Mark, that I think if Jacko don't get the job, this is what I was having this conversation with someone the other day, if Jacko don't get the job this time, then he'll leave, surely. I mean, I can't imagine he'll be happy to go back to being assistant manager again. And, you know, I guess it does depend what's out there at the time. But, I mean, it would be a bit of a slap in the face, you know, unless the results absolutely drop off a cliff at the moment. So, I mean, this is a really sort of fragile time for us. It's sort of teetering one way. Like, we're all sitting here hoping that Jacko continues, we go on this wonderful run and Jacko becomes our manager. But at the back of our mind, I think we all know that if it all goes wrong, or if Thomas makes a decision elsewhere anyway, this could be the last few months with Jacko at the club. It's crazy, isn't it?
It is. And I think I can see both sides of the disagreements over it. With people saying, you know, yeah, bring in someone new, and people saying, well, give it to him straight away. I can understand to a point that Thomas isn't rushing into it. And he's had, what, 3-4 games in, you know, sole charge in the last month. I know, you know, sometimes you're letting your heart rule over your head, but we've talked about it before many times on the show. If he were to go, who would come in, and, you know, what, not a Charlton person, as it may be. You know, there's a few ex-Charlton players who have gone into management. But it's not like there's an abundance. And I think you're right. I think he would lose a lot of the goodwill. I think the fans were willing to put up with not being backed right at the beginning of a transfer. Because, you know, they said, you know, we've got to give it time, and we've got these players. And by the end of it, we had a fairly decent squad. Okay, it was too late. But fans are still on Thomas's side to a point, and I think if they thought that Jacko was being unfairly treated, I think that would soon go, and I think Thomas would soon find, you know, himself targeted as such. And because if a new manager came in and they didn't get any bounce, or they didn't get anything out of him, he's going to look A, very stupid, and B, you know, he's going to find out that, you know, the balls and taxis and pigs may return. And
hope it won't get to that. But yeah, you never know, because I do think the strength of feeling about Johnny Jackson is obviously very high. You know, I'm seeing a fair few tweets about fans who'd like to see Jacko given the job as soon as possible. You know, when I'm speaking with my heart, obviously I'm definitely in that camp. When I'm speaking with my head, I don't think I'm too far away from being in that camp as well, because, you know, how many more results does it take? I can understand, as you say, Mark, that you might want to wait a little bit of time. But then, Lewis, I guess, I mean, how long do you wait? And do you want to ride on this sort of wave of positivity that we're in at the moment? I mean, if we go and win 4-0 on Saturday, is that enough? Is that enough for him to get the full-time job?
I think it would have to be honest. I think that, you know, I know that Thomas maybe feels we're in a position at the moment where, you know, we're doing well. Keep it for now. See how we get on. See how they react. And I understand that at the moment there's no real rush, but also at the same time, I think the squad will be looking at it thinking, well, we really want Jacko to have the job. And they'll be quite unsettled the longer that it goes on, yeah. I think.
Do you think Thomas will listen to those players? Do you think that will play a part in it?
I think as a football owner, you have to. I think you'd have to, because it you know, happy players resorts to happy performances on the pitch, and we're seeing that now. You know, the transformation that Jacko has made to that side basically overnight. That's not just by chance. That's by, you know, hard work, effort, and also respect. And Johnny's been here such a long time, and he has the respect of the supporters, but he also has the respect of some big players in that dressing room. You know, there'll be players there that didn't play with Jacko when he was here, but there'll be players that have worked under him for the whole time they've been here. But players like Jason Pearce, who club captain, you know, he's played with Jacko, so, and he has a good relationship with him. And I think that feeds off and filters down. And I mean, Jaden Stockley's been with the club for what, almost a year, maybe. You know, he had the loan spell in January, and then he's come back permanently, and he's coming out and saying he wants Jacko to get the job. I think that Jacko as a personality within our football club, he has that proper Charlton mentality that always seems to go down a treat when they come in. The likes of Lee Bowyer, Chris Powell, you know, they come in and it just works and it just fits. And I think that people like that understand what we want as supporters. And we know that we're not going to win every single game every week, and we're not going to trounce people every single week. Some games are going to be rough and ready, but as long as we see that effort and performance that you expect of a Charlton side, then the fans will back him all the way. And we've seen that so far. You know, the noise at Rotherham was outstanding, and that there's no way that didn't help, you know, pull us towards the goal in the second half, get the equaliser. And to be honest, Rotherham were lucky not to concede right at the end as well and concede all 3 points. So I think that the club is moving in such a positive direction now on the pitch. The players are happy. There's good performances out there. The fans are happy. The valley's rocking again. And you have to look at it and think, well, you know, Johnny Jackson's in charge of this and he steered it into this position. You know, what risk is there to take by giving him the job? I don't see it at all. I think if he gets a good result this weekend, then give him the job.
Excellent
and
stuff.
Just see what happens. Our expectation's not promotion anymore, really, is it? But there's still a small chance of it. So why not give him a job while the expectations are off?
Right, well, let's sully everything we've just said by looking back at the first defeat of the Jackson era. We travelled to Leyton Orient in the Pizza Cup on Tuesday. This is how it went down and Jacko's reaction to it as well.
So he's gone to press chin, and then Hilarious slips over. Gives the ball to Smith into the edge of the penalty area, takes a shot, and there is the opening goal, and it's come from a Charlton mistake. Paul Smith has capitalised it on it, and the home side take the lead.
Yeah, and that's a huge job.
Disappointed to lose the game, of course. Never liked losing. I didn't like the circumstances of their goal. I thought it was just really, it's a really poor goal to concede. And I thought we was disappointing in the second half. I thought first half we done well. Took on board a lot of the stuff that I asked of them. I thought we played with a little bit of tempo and a little bit about us. But I felt that dropped off in the second half. I thought we was worse when they went down to 10 with our use of the ball. I think we wasn't brave enough in possession. I don't think we was patient enough in that time. I think we was too quick to go forward when we could have worked it better, had an extra pass, waited for the gaps to open, and we didn't do it. We was in too much of a hurry to do everything, and I think it was an opportunity missed at that stage of the game to go on and win it.
As you talk about this being an opportunity, it's an opportunity for a lot of the younger players to get involved today, and even though you might not say it's the most important game we're going to play this season, obviously with the circumstances already being through, you'd still, I guess, hope to see something that might catch your eye for their sort of future careers coming up ahead of them.
Yeah, I mean, it's an opportunity to impress me. It's a stage, isn't it, to go and play some senior football in front of a good crowd on a good pitch in a good stadium. So, good opportunity there. And I think there was signs in the first half that people were going to go and grab it. But then as the game wore on, I felt like Orient came into it a lot stronger and finished much stronger than what we did. And I thought we fell away in that second half. And going 0-0 at half-time, buoyant, thinking we're going to come out and carry on dominating and go on and win it, and we fell away. So it's an opportunity missed in that regard.
Obviously, this competition has given Charlton the chance to give a lot of youngsters their debut, and we saw two more today with Backman and Chinwell. Did you make of those two today, this evening?
Yeah, I mean, it's always nice to see young lads get their debuts, and I thought they applied themselves well. And again, like, as in with the whole team, I think certainly in that first half there was some really promising signs. But then I think second half we went away, not those two individuals, us as a team, we went away from doing the things that we'd done well in the first half and had got us a little, I mean, not loads of joy, but a little bit of joy. And I certainly felt we was on top anyway, and then we came away from it.
Narrow defeat in the end at Leyton Orient. I'm pained to count it as the first defeat of the Jackson era, because I mean, there's the cup with like basically an under 23 side, so it's not really. And there were some good moments in it, Mark. I know not many people actually watched it. I was over there, and we hit the bar in the first half, and I think it was Dempsey had a really good chance with a header, but then an uncharacteristic mistake from Deji Alleraway. Obviously now he's got that big contract, he's down tools and decided to fall over in front of goal, and Paul Smith scored as many goals against us now as he did for us, and done more backflips for Leyton Orient than he ever did for us.
Yeah, celebrating with a backflip in that kind of game, it's just like, yeah, well done, mate. Congratulations. You know, put that trophy up at home. It was what it was. One, it was a mean list because we'd already qualified. Two, you know, it gave good experience to, you know, what, three of them started for the first time. I know Burstow had played, you know, come on and scored, but it was his first actual start. Gives the keeper, you know, I think they've got a lot of respect for Harness, you know, and I think there's a lot of enthusiasm for keeping him at a club. So it gives him, and he, you know, according to it, you know, he made some good saves. And it is, you know, not throwing to like people who haven't played together, because obviously they have played together in some style, but you're still, and you've got to give your opposition, you know, a trying as well. It's not like everyone's going to just bend over and take it, you know, from us when we turn up, you know, as old Big Charlton Athletic, you know, they're going to, you know, their manager would have got them up saying, you know, like, you can go out and win this and we'll get a home tie, blah, blah. So it is what it is. You know, do you count it as a defeat? Of course you do. You know, we lost. But, you know, do you start then going like, sack my manager? No, you don't, because you put it into perspective. So it is what it was. It got experience, you know, always one of these things where they say, oh, you know, but I'd want to put him in the team, but he hasn't got enough experience. You know, this is how these players get this experience, because they have it. You know, will Deji make that mistake again? You hope not. You hope he learns from it. That's the whole idea of being a kid in a football team, that if you do make a mistake, it is in the Papa Pizzas and it's not in Wembley. So, you know, did I feel mopey and upset like I normally do when we lose? No, I just went, that was it. And when, let's say, Paul Smith scored for them, you're thinking, oh, okay. You know, that's his loan is like to Leyton Orient. Lets you know what his career trajectory is like. So
he's not played a great deal there as well. I think he's struggled with injuries, to be fair. Apparently put his back out doing a backflip in training after scoring a goal. But there we go. Great numbers actually travelled over to Leyton Orient. It's the first time we've played there in what was effectively a competitive game for about 10 years, and Charlton fans made an excellent noise there. But it wasn't to be on the evening. We are through still, though, to the next round of draws on Saturday. I think it's about 2 o'clock, so everyone will be in Burton desperately hanging around and looking at people's phones to find out who we'll be away to in the next round. Can't wait for that one. Right, let's have a break. When we come back, we'll turn our attention to another cup game.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Kirk again. To his left is Gunter. Gunter with the cross. It's a search across. Chiasini! That's a lovely header. It's Alain Chiasini. A searching cross from Chris Gunter. Chiasini beats McFadden to the ball against Cheltenham lead.
Yeah, and we talk about this week in, week out, about players anticipating coming in from the far side, getting inside the fullback, spotting that cross early, making the run, anticipate, get across your man and meet it well. I mean, it's a very brave header from Chiasini.
Charlton Live.
Hi, Charlton fans, it's Rachel here. Just want to let you know we've got a huge derby game this Sunday against Crystal Palace. We'd really appreciate your support and hope that as many of you can come as possible. It's 2 p.m. kickoff at Bromley and we really look forward to seeing you there.
Right, welcome back to Charlton Live. This is the big match preview. We just heard there as well from Rachel Newborough from the Addicts women's team. Massive game coming up on Sunday at Hayes Lane. 2 o'clock kickoff away to Palace. I'm going to head over there and watch the girls. And I mean, you know, the couple of defeats and then followed up by a decent draw at Sheffield United last weekend, Lewis. So, I mean, I don't know if it's perhaps not going quite as swimmingly as everyone would hope and expect, especially after the fast start at home. But Charlton are still certainly very competitive in this division and I'd expect them to be challenging for promotion this season if, you know, certainly the top half and it's a tight league. And there's no better place to go than the local derby against Palace. I mean, you and I both went to that one behind closed doors last year to commentate, and it was a really sort of intensely fought game, and we were unlucky to come away with just a point after a last minute own goal. So a little bit of revenge out there, and there's a little bit of needle between the two clubs. For some reason, they don't seem to like us.
Yeah, I know it's going to be a big game. Actually, I'm gutted I can't go because I was penciled to do that game on the commentary as well. So it would have been good. But yeah, you know, it's, as you say, so far this season, the girls have been fairly competitive, haven't they? They're up there. I think they're fourth in the division at the moment. They may have just slipped slightly after the weekend, but it shows how tight it is, and anyone can really beat anyone. I mean, Palace beat top of the league at the weekend, which is a real surprise result. So yeah, we went last season, didn't we? And it was a really decent, fiery encounter, which was good because, you know, after, for me especially, missing so much football last year and it being behind closed doors, it really brought a decent atmosphere. So yeah, if you can get down, anyone listening can get down and support the girls. I mean, it'd be in for a really exciting afternoon.
Yeah, and you get to go to the home of non-league football as well, which is obviously is Hayes Lane, which is just adds to it for me. Right, let's talk about the cup draw now. Of course, we've been drawn away in the cup. It's confirmed it's going to be on Friday, the 3rd of December as well, 7:45. We still don't know where or who we're playing, though. It's going to be either Gateshead or Altrincham. They're playing a replay on Tuesday. Johnny Jackson was asked for his thoughts on the draw earlier on today.
Yeah, I mean, it's a great draw. They'll be looking at it again as another potential banana skin, a non-league team against a league team, a League One team. So it's a great tie. It's a great tie. Obviously, yes, you do. You want that home draw. Especially now, it means we've got to play 4 away games on the bounce. So I was hoping that our ball would come out first, and then I wasn't particularly bothered by the next one out. But brilliant tie. Brilliant tie, good opportunity for us to get into the third round. The opposition will be looking at it as an opportunity to cause an upset, so it's got everything that you want really from an FA Cup tie.
But from the side you picked in the first round, I'm guessing the third round is still the big target, so it'll be reflected in the side you put out for the second as well, I guess.
Yeah, of course. I'll repeat what I said before, you know, any team that I put out there should be, I would expect, strong enough to win the game. I would never put a team out that I didn't think could win that game. So it'll be a chance, again, to utilise the squad. But we'll be going there to win it, to get in that hat for the third round for sure.
There we go, Jacko buzzing with a draw, as I think all of us were, really, Mark. And, you know, a bonus that, I mean, it's a shame it's going to be on the Friday, because that will rule out quite a few people from going. But at the same time, I mean, at least it's going to be on TV, so it's a chance for us to embarrass ourselves in front of a national audience instead of just a more localised one like normal.
Yeah, well, you say national audience, it's ITV4. I think we're sandwiched between a 1978 episode of Minder and something like some police rescue programme. So I don't think it's going to be too many people tuning in to watch it, but unless it's you're a Charlton fan.
But it's a great draw, isn't it? It's proper FA Cup draw, that one.
Oh, no, it is. And you can understand, as soon as it came out, I was like, that's going to be on TV. Because, you know, it would be a giant killing. Because look where we are, look where they are.
Gateshead aren't that big.
Yeah, well, I'll remind you of this in a couple of weeks when we lose to them. And Jacko wants to take it seriously, so it's not like he's going to play the same team we played in the pizza. So I think they'll be looking for it if we come up against them. And you're right, it's Friday night, so, you know, ordinarily we'd be taking, I should imagine, quite a lot to a new ground. But maybe 200. You know, but they'll make noise, and obviously the home crowd will be up for it, so we'll have to be on our game, we'll have to be on our mettle, so...
Any preference, Lewis, as to who we get? I mean, I'll state mine now. I'd rather we go to Auchinham, just because I think they're... I mean, it'll be a tougher test, because obviously they're in the league above, but their ground looks like a proper tight little ground, and I've actually been past Gateshead's ground on the metro between Newcastle and Sunderland, and, yeah, it doesn't look like the most enticing of football stadiums. But I do think the Auchinham game would be a bigger test just because it would be so compact. But that's, as I said, that's what the FA Cup's all about.
Yeah, I mean, no real preference for me, although I did have a stat for you, which I found today. Auchinham are they've got the most giant killings in the FA Cup.
Oh, God.
In their time in the non-league, they've knocked out 17 Football League clubs.
17?
17,
that's
yeah.
That's impressive. We must be up there or down there as one of the league clubs with the fewest, being the scalp the fewest times, because I think we've only ever been knocked out by Northwich, haven't we, from non-league. Obviously came really close against Dagenham and Redbridge back in about 2000. But yeah, we tend to survive these games. But to be fair, I can't remember the last time we actually went away to a non-league side. I'm guessing it is Northwich, unless you can remember differently there, Lewis.
I think it was Northwich, or maybe Halifax Town. Was that FA?
Oh, yeah, I went to that, yeah. But was that before
we won
or
that one?
Yeah, oh, I went to that one, yeah. So Halifax then. Yeah, but it's a long time since we've played one of these games. And I mean, they are banana skin in waiting. I mean, if it was up to me, I would be putting out our full strength side for that, Lewis. Would you? Am I going too far there?
No, I think, you know, I would take it seriously, definitely, especially... We know what it's like, especially on ITV with the Northwich one. I remember that was the most embarrassing thing going. I think my preference would be Gateshead, because I don't want to be number 18 in the Altrincham record. But it'd be nice to get to the third round and try and get a decent cup away trip, because last year behind closed doors we had that trip to West Ham that none of us could go to, and that would have been something that we would have sold out, and it'd be nice to have a bit of a cup run this year. I mean, at the moment, obviously our aim is to push ourselves further up the league, but we're not in a promotion battle at the moment. So why not have a try and go for a cup run, and at least try and get to the third, fourth round, and try and get a big tie that would be really good for the club financially, and give the supporters a really good day out if we manage to get a decent away tie.
Certainly. I mean, are you annoyed, Mark, that it's been put to the Friday? I know you're not one who tends to do the away games, but is it one you had your eye on? And the argument between the moving of the kickoff time making it difficult for the travelling fans, but I guess, I mean, the FA Cup is a competition that, you know, I've got a lot of time for, and it brings it to a wider audience in terms of the TV, that a lot of people wouldn't have seen that game. So I guess there's a bit of both really to contemplate there.
Yeah, I mean, to be honest, I miss the away games, but you know, that's a joy of having little 3-year-olds. But no, it's one of those ones. I think moving it to a Friday, you know, like I said to you before, it does affect it. And, you know, an away tie is something different. You know, you do tend to get, you know, the hardcore and the noise. And, you know, there would have been one person who would have loved that game to hang his flag up. And so it's one of those things. It is what it is. I mean, they probably would have preferred it here because they'd probably get a little more revenue from it. But I think they'll look at home advantage and know what kind of muddy pitch they've got, and they'll think they'll see that as a leveller, you know, and they'll use that and say, you know, these prima donna first division players, they don't like it. So we'll have to go there and say, right, we can mix it. So.
Excellent stuff. Right, let's. I wanted to discuss actually one player who's played in midweek and played in the cup game. Again, we had a brief chat about him on Sunday show actually, but Albie Morgan obviously was the captain of the side for the trip to Leyton Orient. Having sort of spoke about him on Sunday show, I wanted to ask Jacko what he made of Albie so far this season, and of course the fact he was given the captain's armband on Tuesday evening.
No, it's been difficult for him. I gave him the armband. I thought he was the most senior Charlton appearances amongst that group, so I thought it was the right thing to give him the armband. He's not a, you know, a junior player anymore. So Albie needs to, you know, he needs to keep applying himself. I thought he, like he always does, he gave everything out there. However, I've had conversations with him. I want him to be smarter in his play and his positioning. He's trying to take on board the things that I want from players in his position. And it's an opportunity for him to get more minutes. You know, he needs to grab those opportunities, and he needs to continue training hard and trying to convince me that he should be in the starting 11, like, you know, the league starting 11, through what he does in these games and what he does on the training pitch.
Interesting stuff from Jack. Obviously, I was noting how he would speak differently than Lee Bowyer would when talking about a player. You know, it's an opportunity for him. He has asked for him to do things, you know, be a bit more smarter in his play. But, you know, I mean, since Jacko's come in, Lewis, Albie's not played a minute of League One football. He last started in the last game under Nigel Adkins, of course, that 3-2 defeat against Accrington Stanley. But he had started the first six league games of the season. Then out of the next 11, I think it was, only started three. So out of favour again, and it's getting to that stage now where we keep waiting for Albie to burst into life, and just not sure. I'm not sure now if and when it's going to happen. And it's a player that we all really want to do well, but I don't know. Loan spell necessary now?
100%. I think you're bang on. You know, he's a player that we all desperately want to succeed. He came in that promotion season at 18 years of age and really performed and had some really strong performances, and then also got an opportunity in the Championship to play well and didn't look massively out of place either. And this season especially, you know, he got given that number 10 shirt at the start of the year, and we've all been saying, you know, this is the year for him. He's going to be a really important player in that midfield, starting every week, and we've just not seen it. He's been really inconsistent. I think maybe at the start under Nigel, he was played in an unfamiliar position that maybe didn't suit him, and that put him out of his strengths a little bit and out of his depth. But even when he's come in now, he's not done enough. And he played the cup game on Saturday, and when he came off, I'm not saying it's all on him, but when he came off, we went and scored four goals, and it doesn't sound like the performance Tuesday was up to a huge amount either. So maybe Albie's a player that's struggling for confidence at the moment, struggling to hit a constant run of form. And you know, when he did go out on loan, we were in the Championship. I think he went out to Ebbsfleet, didn't, which really surprised me. I thought it'd be more suited to getting a League Two loan or something. So maybe now would be a good time for him to find that opportunity in January to have, you know, have half a season out in League Two, see how he gets on. And for me, ideally, I think he would need a whole season just to play and toughen up and get minutes behind his belt, get his confidence up a little bit, because at the moment, he's not getting that here. So, yeah, I think a loan move for Albie would be the best option at the moment.
Excellent stuff. Right, we're going to hear from Dave Fletcher from BBC Radio Derby in a few moments' time. We've got some of your messages ahead of this game with Bert and Albie. And Phil says, hi, guys. I think JJ will miss bouncing ideas off y'all, as they seem to work well together. However, I believe that we have enough if the lads keep up the high work rate and passion shown recently to get a result. 3 points would definitely show we're well on our way back. I went to Orient on Tuesday. I thought the young lads did well. The forwards were up against it with their defence comprising first-team players and much more experience and strength than our young players. And the atmosphere was brilliant, especially when we had the right side of the goal singing to the left side and vice versa. I hope White Shirt has taken the hint and bought a bigger size for the next game. Well, I'd have to. I wasn't involved in that crowd banter, so it'd be interesting to see what that song was. Cheers for that, Phil. Clive says, he's interested in. Oh, actually, I think this deserves a longer conversation, Clive. So I'm going to save that for Sunday because he's talking about contracts and stuff. So I'll hang on to that one for now, Clive, if that's all right with you. But let's have a look at some of the tweets as well that have come in. Alan says, I'm confident based on JJ's team. Play the way we have been and we can beat any team in the league. Connor's work rate will be a miss, but I assume Josh Davison will start and he will be a pain for the Burton defence. It's a shame the FA Cup game's not a daytime kickoff now, as I think we would have sold out. Yeah, I do think we probably would have taken more if it was a Saturday. But there we go. Right, Jimmy says, maybe an unpopular opinion, but I'd rather the game was called off. Washington will be a huge miss, in my opinion, with the position we're in. I'd rather we were able to play our strongest possible squad. Last thing we want is a repeat of our last visit. Still, in Jacko we trust. Come on, you Reds. That's from Jimmy. The Madonka's right foot did say they're glad it's on because the momentum is the key. Right, Stu says, strangely enough, I'm feeling confident if the increase in the league games continue. Platy says another game which we will see where we are in terms of improvement. Sunderland and Rotherham showed we are up there, but we need wins at places like Burton to climb the league. Connor Washington will be missed, but I assume Josh Davison will be in and he will run for the team. And he says is Lecco back? Whereas we heard Lecco probably going to be too soon for him, according to Jacko earlier on in the show. Right, let's hear from the Burton point of view for the game. Dave Fletcher from BBC Radio Derby was kind enough to speak to me last night and let us know a little bit about Jimmy Floyd Hasselbank's side.
Well, they made a really good start to the season because they won their first three matches, including wins over Sunderland and Ipswich, before we knew how poor Ipswich were at the start of the season, although they've improved, obviously. And everybody got really excited. And they've sort of hit a bump in the road after that. And they're just coming round now. In the last four matches, they won the first two of those four, lost the most two recently, but they go to Fleetwood in the FA Cup last weekend and got a very impressive win in some very, very poor conditions. So, there's been a lot of changes under Jimmy Floyd Hasselbank. Firstly, when he came in last January, when he brought a dozen players in, and he's brought another 10 players or so in the summer. So I think overall they'd be relatively pleased with where they are.
Yeah, I mean, what were the expectations at the start of the season? Because I guess obviously they had that amazing run in the second half of last year that saw them stay up quite comfortably in the end. Were there any expectations of a playoff challenge this year?
Well, the first thing I would say about the remarkable escape was that obviously people who follow League One will have spotted it and seen it and agreed how remarkable it was. It sort of went under the radar a bit elsewhere because they did it so comfortably in the end. And yeah, you're right, because they'd done so well under Hasselbank, and they did well under Hasselbank in his first spell as well, obviously getting promotion from League Two, that there was a bit of expectation, but I don't think the supporters put an awful lot of demands on them. I'm relatively new to covering Burton on a week-by-week basis. And yes, they want to see their team win and they want to see their team try, but they're sort of givens, aren't they, really? Whether or not they said, well, we could go to the playoffs. I think Hasselbank would certainly be aiming for that because whenever he's been at Burton, he's always had pretty decent success. But I'm not sure whether anybody set any targets. Trying to get Jimmy to talk about the league table last season was an absolute nightmare. And in the end, I just gave up because he steadfastly refuses to talk about where they are in the league. It's all about the process. It's all about doing what they do and nothing to do with the opposition. It's the usual manager speak when he's on the record. And that's how they go about their business. If you talk to the players, he's obviously said an awful lot to them about exactly the same thing. And they say the same thing as well. But I'm sure deep down, given the quality of player that they've got, although they had suffered one or two injuries early in the season, which sort of set them back a bit, but given the quality of players that they've now got at the club, that they would certainly expect to be in the top 10.
Yeah, I mean, for the size of the club, does being in League One still feel like it's a bit of an overachievement? Because obviously they've been up and down the divisions, but I mean, historically they're a non-league club for quite a long time.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, you go to the ground, it's a small ground, the Pirelli Stadium. It's a very nice ground, but it's a very small ground. And I don't think there's a non-league mentality necessarily, but for the size of club and the support they get, I mean, to get a crowd of 4,000 inside the Pirelli is quite an achievement. Then, yeah, I mean, they are a very, very small club, even by League One standards, when you look down the attendance figures and that kind of thing. Well-run club, no question about it. But I still think, well, Championship was clearly an overachievement, and it was an incredible effort to stay in there for two seasons. But having had a taste of that, that's clearly where everybody would like them to be, and there's no reason why they can't. I suppose, but they are even my League One standards, as I say, they are a small club.
And finally, then, just looking ahead to Saturday's game, obviously Charlton were going to be down a couple of players because of the international break. Are Burton missing any, and who would you say are sort of like the key men among the squad going into Saturday's game?
They will be missing a couple of players. Daniel Jebison, the young lad striker on loan from Sheffield United, who scored the winner against Fleetwood. He's away with England under-19s. Tom Taylor, who played in that game, played the full 90 minutes, is away with the Wales under-21s. And Tom Hamer, who put the pass through for Jebison to score the winning goal at Fleetwood, is suspended, having got to 5 bookings for the season. We haven't seen Lucas Aikins for a couple of matches. He'll be key. I mean, he's always key, Lucas. He's just passed 300 Football League appearances for Burton Albion. He's a bit of a club legend. He may well be back, which will be good news indeed, because he's a very adaptable player. But instead of playing up front, he may well be playing at the back, because he's played in all 10 outfield positions for Burton over his time there. But the key men are the three centre, the centre-backs and the two defensive midfielders that Jimmy likes to play. Connor Shocknessy, Ryan Leake, and Deji Oshilaja, who's been playing at the back as well, have been superb all season. And Tom O'Connor, who's twice scored from corners. He did it in successive matches. Keep an eye out for him. He is a very, very fine player indeed.
There we go. Two former addicts going head-to-head in the dugout on Saturday, Mark. Jimmy Floyd Asamoah, he never really hit the heights for us as a player that he did have in his career, and he did have a very good career, obviously mainly at Chelsea. But managerial-wise, I mean, him and Burton seem to be the perfect fit.
Yeah, I mean, Hasselbaink has got the enigma of being the striker in my worst Charlton 11 I've ever seen. But he's taken to management. I think he's doing the right thing. He's doing a lower league apprenticeship. It's not like he's one of these people who goes, oh, I've only played Premiership, so I'm only going to be a Premiership manager. And I think he's working well with what he's got. I think when he came in last year, they were really in dire straits, and then they went on an amazing run, I think, of about 9 games that were unbeaten. And I think it seems to be a good fit up there. I think we're a different proposition, you know, from what we were last year. I think we're a different proposition to what we were 4 weeks ago. So, I mean, we talked about it before on the show, saying, you know, for everyone who looks at our previous games, you know, judge us from Sunderland on, don't bother looking at the start of the season, because you're not going to get the true Charlton. So I think it'll be an interesting one. And, you know, hopefully if we negate, if I remember rightly, they've got a guy who can throw the ball from like the halfway line, and they use him quite a bit. So, you know, the centre-halves have to be on it. But I'm not so worried, you know, as I would have been, say, 4 weeks ago, because I think we've got things in the armoury who can hurt them, especially people like Elliot Lee, who, you know, I absolutely adore. I think he's a real good X-factor player for us, because he's got the skills and got quick feet. And I think he's showing he's really sort of almost too good for this division. So we've got to make the most out of players we've got like that.
Now, one of the things that really caught my attention in that conversation with Dave is when he said that Deji Oshilaja is one of Burton's best players, Lewis. You know, I think it was fairly obvious to anyone who listened to the show last season, but I wasn't his biggest fan. I think he had a hell of a mistake in him. But at the same time, you know, I don't think Lee Bowyer was probably the best manager for him, and obviously there was that situation where we were told in the press that one player was never going to play again for Lee, and I think if you can read between the lines, I think it's quite obvious it was Deji after the amount of mistakes he did make. But I'm kind of pleased for him that he seems more settled at Burton. I just hope he returns to the Deji I knew and loved last season on Saturday.
it's an interesting comment, isn't it? Because I don't think Deji set too many worlds alight.
He's wearing
here,
the captain's armband as well.
I know, I saw that. I did see that. But I mean, he came in for us in the Championship, didn't he? And he did have a mistake in him, but he was quite popular. He had that song, and there were a few good performances from him in the Championship. But yeah, in League One last year, it was a real a real nightmare. But yeah, you know, he's moved on now, isn't he? And he's at Burton, and you know, I hope he does well. But hopefully Saturday he's got a few mistakes in him as well, because then, you know, we get our own back.
Excellent stuff. Right, well, we've run out of time then on this week's big match preview. Thanks for everyone who's tuned in and sent your messages in as well. Don't forget, we'll be back on Sunday to look back at the game against Burton Albion. And yeah, we hope to have your messages in as well on that show. So if you want to get involved, make sure you email us, studio@charltonlive.co.uk, or you can tweet us at Charlton Live. Don't forget to check out the Charlton Live Instagram page and our Facebook page as well for loads of lovely little pictures that I put up every now and then. Right, thank you to Mark and to Lewis for joining me on the show this week.
Cheers, mate. Welcome, mate.
Good to speak to you both. Hope you're feeling better soon, Lewis. And I guess you'll be listening from home on Saturday, which is a shame, but... yeah, hopefully we can pick up 3 points to make you feel better. Right, I'm Louis Mendes. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you again on Sunday.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.